Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Josh McCall is a mild-mannered, middle-aged, middle-class man who works at a middle management job in Halifax. He loves golf, fine wine, and his family. He lives with his wife, Rachel, a marriage counselor, and their young son, Max. They're totally excited about the new home they're moving into on a peaceful country road far from the bright city lights. But from their first night, they discover their dream home is actually a nightmare. It's parked between two hairpin turns on a badly lit road where cars are constantly crashing. The front lawn is a danger zone and the death toll of drivers keeps rising. Max is terrified. Rachel says they gotta move out, but Josh discovers a mission to save as many of the inevitable crash victims as he can, and his new obsession overrides his career, his marriage, and even his young son. The question is, how far will he go to rescue dying motorists on that sharp corner? Sharp Corner is a new psychological drama about a man's altruistic obsession taken to a horrifying level. It's funny, shocking, and more than a bit creepy. The film premiered at TIFF last year and stars Ben Foster and Kobe Smulders as the McCalls. Sharp Corner is co-written and directed by Halifax-based award-winning filmmaker Jason Buxton. His first film, Blackbird, opened at TIFF in 2012 and was on my Best of the Year list that year. Went on to win the Canadian Screen Award for Best First Feature in Sharp Corner. Another great movie is opening theatrically in Canada on May 9th, and I'm very pleased to have here with me via Zoom, Jason Buxton, to tell us more about Sharp Corner. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Daniel.
Thanks so much for meeting with me.
My pleasure, and thank you for Blackbird being on your best of list in 2012. I didn't know that. That's great.
Wonderful movie. That's why I wanted to see this one. So Sharp Corner is a movie about one man's obsession. What was your obsession in making this movie?
My obsession was actually my obsession as a writer, and I was interested in exploring obsession because what I noticed that even when I was done for the day, I'd be solving problems in my head, and I had a young daughter at the time when my daughter was young, and I realized that I was not paying attention to my family. And so there was sort of a narcissistic quality to this chasing perfection in my writing that had a negative impact on my loved ones. And I wanted to explore that. And when I found Russell's story that dealt with obsession in this particular way, I thought it was a nice high concept to explore something that was personal to me.
They live in a nightmare of a home. Is there any personal aspect in that? Have you ever lived in a house that was very hard to handle?
Actually, many years ago, I lived a spot in Halifax where there was an intersection where there were, I would say every 3 or 4 months, there was an accident. Just the way that it was structured and people would turn and collide with the oncoming cars from the outside lane. And so, you know, there were never any fatalities because it was in the city, but it was something. And I hear from people all the time of having these similar experiences of living in houses or living near houses where there's a dangerous sharp corner where there's often car accidents. Apparently there's one in Texas. There's a famous one in Texas, I've learned.
I actually grew up when I was a little kid. We lived at a corner, and I remember cars would constantly run through the stop sign. And I remember, like, 4 years old hearing this crash, and it really, I didn't know what to make of it. Yeah. So getting back to Josh, he's the main character. He's, you know, empathetic. He's altruistic, good Samaritan kind of guy, but he's also, like you say, a narcissist. Can you describe his character? It's a complex character.
Well, I think you described it well.
Okay.
I think he's somebody that's presenting a certain way, and almost like he's presenting a certain way because he wants to believe himself. But you suspect, I think the audience suspects, there's an insincerity underneath the facade. And I think, like all great tragic characters, whether it's in literature or drama or film, they start off with a good intention that goes bad. And that's what I was interested in exploring with this character, who's really, I mean, Kobe Smolders' character, Rachel, his wife, she calls him out on it perfectly. That's he's getting some pleasure out of the misery of others.
I love it in
He
this. I was just gonna say in
can't
this,
even admit it to himself, is what I was gonna say.
and I love that she has a line where she accuses him of cashing in on the accidents and death. I thought it was a great expression.
Yeah, thanks.
So there's also a morbid atmosphere to the whole movie with the constant death and crashes and gore and stuff. The first movie that comes to mind for me, Canadian movie, is David Cronenberg's Crash, but this was quite different. What inspired you cinematically for this one?
Good question. I mean, I talk about Taxi Driver a lot. Taxi Driver structurally probably in the script page is a character seeking purpose and doesn't misguided obviously, and that was definitely a strong influence for me. Other things cinematically, it's hard for me to say. I mean, I love Little Children, Todd Field's Little Children, based on Tom Perrotta's novel. There's No Country for Old Men. I love the tone of that film. There's moments where, it's a little bit less overtly comedic for a Coen Brothers film, but it's still there, at moments, and they sort of they mix these those tones really nicely. So that I would say that was an influence.
No, I think that's an important point because it is a tragedy and it is a sort of a psychological drama, but it's also kind of a dark comedy. So talk about how do you keep the humor going in a movie with a serious plot?
Yeah, well, I always saw it that way when I was writing it. I think for me the character is absurdly funny because he doesn't really understand himself. He doesn't have that relationship to himself. He's sort of bumbling and just sort of finding his way through life and doesn't because he doesn't have introspection or doesn't live and examine life. He's not aware of his own absurdity and his the contradictions of like I said earlier, it's almost like he believes his own bullshit. And so that's sort of that deadpan nature was, I think, there on the page. And then Ben just he did something quite wonderful with the material and has he created a character where you see there's always something going on behind the eyes, but you don't know quite what it is, and you question whether he knows exactly what it is. He's scheming for something that he doesn't quite yet know what that thing is.
He starred in or co-starred in a great movie. He's done like dozens and dozens of movies, but Leave No Trace, which is also this sort of strange, oddball character. Did that have anything to do with him being cast in this role?
Well, I was a fan of his performance in that film for sure. And I've always like he's one of those actors that if he's number two, number three, number four in the call sheet, he often is where we look on the screen. Like we're drawn. There's something about him that's so incredibly watchable. And I think it is that it's that X factor that you feel like there's an inner life going on with him. It's lived in. You feel like okay. There's something unsettling. There's something unpredictable. It's just incredibly engaging to watch as a performer.
I saw this movie at TIFF, but I watched it again before the interview just to refresh. And it, I noticed a bunch of things I hadn't seen the first time. There are all these visual clues and cues in the movie. So, like, right before there's a big crash, you know, the screech of wheels, we see Rachel with a salad spinner spinning around, and Josh is flipping these bucks, these like pucks, these like burgers on a grill, and there's all these like round spinning things, and you hear crash. Did you add aspects like this in the editing process, or were they in your mind from the beginning?
Some of it was there on the page. I mean, what was interesting, when you make a movie, obviously you're collaborating with all these different creatives, and our property master, presents during prep these different salad spinners, and it's like, which one you want a spinner that does like this or it does this, and we realize at some point that she's doing the CPR motion, and it's like, oh my God, this is this is a precursor to what we're about to see. And so it just felt so fitting, and it's these sort of rhythms and the heartbeat, and it just sort of worked, and it worked as a wonderful transition point as well. And our composer Stephen McCune, his score sort of works nicely as it transitions to the salad spinner, which is like a CPR
Yeah,
movement. So it was great.
like because there's scenes where he's doing that with a doll in the
Exactly.
lessons. Yeah,
Yeah, CPR mannequin.
yeah. You set both your films or in Nova Scotia. Was this one specifically in Halifax in your mind, or that's just where you were and where you decided to do it?
Yeah, it's loosely. I mean, when I write, it's very much loose, almost like a dream. But I did sort of imagine. I called the road they were on a road that was close to Halifax, although very different than what it looks like in the movie. But Halifax sort of worked for us because A, we shot it there. B, we're from there, and we wanted to lean into it being a Canadian film. And Halifax is the right scale city where in 30 minutes you can live in the country. So it just made sense for us on all levels just to, set it there.
And finally, just briefly, why should viewers come to see Sharp Corner?
Well, I think people that are interested in distinctive cinema, I set out to make something unlike other films because that's what I like as a film goer. So this is a blend, as we sort of talked about earlier, it's a blend of a dark comedy with psychological thriller and some sort of family drama aspects, all sort of working hopefully together in tandem to tell a unique story in a unique way.
So, everyone hear that you should go out and see this movie on the 9th. It's fantastic. Thanks so much for talking with me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jason Buxton's new film, Sharp Corner, opens theatrically across Canada on May 9th. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.